Good morning, MCC, and good morning, TCC. It is an awesome, awesome privilege to be able to address both Canada and Atlanta this morning. Now, you're going to love our conversation, I believe, I hope, I trust, and we're looking forward to the things that are going to be shared this morning. This is Father's Day. Welcome to all you fathers.
Yep, and I just want to jump in as well and say, good morning, AMC. Good morning, TCC. Just a huge honor to be here together today, as Bishop Johnson said, speaking to Canada and the U.S., speaking to Toronto, and speaking to Atlanta on this very special day, obviously, because it is Father's Day. And I just want to say right off the top, Bishop, I'm really excited and really honored to be able to do this conversation with you. For those of you who aren't aware, Bishop Flynn Johnson has been my pastor. He's been a spiritual father to me for over 15 years now.
No,
it was 15, Bishop. 15, literally 15 this month, I think, actually, was when you and Lady Carolyn first came to our church. And we talked with you as you finished up that weekend about, you know, just starting to connect a little bit more. And that's where it all started. And so, here we are 15 years later. I'm really excited to do this. I think for me, it's just really cool. It's really special. It's really important just to even be able to do this conversation together on Father's Day. I think in this season right now, we need to be demonstrating the kingdom. We need to be demonstrating unity. We need to be demonstrating that we're together. And I think we need each other. We need each other in the body of Christ. We need each other, even from different backgrounds, from different races. God's called us together. So I'm excited just to be able to do this together and just to talk a little bit and to draw on your wisdom, especially today, about just the importance of fathers and how we can grow as fathers.
Absolutely amazing. And we need it so badly. I don't know about you, but our city is experiencing incredible disruption. I believe at the bottom of much of it is fatherlessness. So this is a great privilege. I look forward to the conversation.
Oh, sounds good. Well, why don't we just dive right in then? And why don't we get started? But first, why don't we open in prayer? So Bishop, you do the honors and just open us up in prayer this morning.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we approach you today because we desperately need to hear your word, your wisdom, your direction. And we thank you, Lord, for your download. Thank you for the relationship that we have and share that we've shared over the years. I pray now out of this that many will be blessed, eyes will be opened, hearts will be healed, and the kingdom of God will begin to manifest in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, and Father, we thank you this morning for every father who's tuning in. Father, we speak just a blessing over them. Lord, we thank you for just their heart for you, demonstrated by the fact they're even here, and their heart for their families. And we thank you that today, just even as we talk and we converse, and particularly as Bishop shares just from his journey, from the things you've shown him, that each one of us as fathers are going to be strengthened, are going to be encouraged, are going to be challenged, and are going to grow as fathers, and that you, our Heavenly Father, are going to pour into us today in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said,
amen.
Amen, amen. All right, well, before I jump in my first question, Bishop, I do have to say to you, Happy Father's Day. I want to make sure I honor you as a natural father and as a spiritual father today.
Thank you, Brendan. And may I say to you, Happy Father's Day.
Hey, I'll take it. So let's dive right in right now. First question for you. Why are fathers so important? I think we live in a culture and we live in a time where many people don't understand. Like if you ask someone, why are fathers important? They might be able to throw one or two kind of vague concepts, but why are fathers so important? Why do fathers matter so much?
This is an incredible question. What it brings to mind is what the scriptures say. In Ephesians, it says, in Ephesians 14, it says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. It is amazing to me that God the Father would download his desire, his character in fatherhood so that what is in heaven would be experienced on earth. In other words, the whole pattern for culture is invested in this position called fatherhood. And no wonder it's under such attack. It is, in fact, you know, one of the words for father is progenitor, the seed from which culture comes, the seed from which society comes. It's the pattern of God, and it starts with a father. It's amazing. And it also, I noticed too, in the scripture that the blessing on all of culture, on sons and daughters, come from their obedience to their parents. In fact, this is what the Lord speaks in his word. He says, children, obey your parents, obviously beginning with father, that it might go well with you and that you might live long on the earth. It's amazing that the blessing of God flows from our relationship with our parents. That would suggest that if we don't have good relationships with our parents, or if there's disobedience, division, and separation between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, that it doesn't go well for the culture. And I think we're experiencing some of that right now. So the pattern, God's desire for the shape of the whole culture, regardless of what ethnos, is about fatherhood. I see that as the main attack of the enemy.
Wow.
It's so important to God. It's fundamental. That's why he's called Father Abraham.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's good. That's really good, Bishop. There's a lot there right off the top. Now, when we talk about fathers and just being fathers, and even you talked about the importance of fathers, progenitors, shaping culture, what are key things that fathers need to do? So even fathers who are listening, whether they're at the start of their journey, maybe they're further along in their journey, wherever they are, maybe even men who are preparing to be fathers. They're not fathers yet, but they know that's coming. But what are some key things that fathers need to do?
Wow, Brendan, what a question. When I think about it, one of the first things, this is a little crazy, but everyone is a child before they're ever a father.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And the scripture says, it's really amazing. But let me put it this way. If we don't know how to be good sons and daughters, we won't be good fathers and mothers. Now, this scripture that I just mentioned, Ephesians 5, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and that it might go well with you. Everybody's somebody's child. And so I would say, if we were gonna begin to address the issue of fatherhood, I'd say we've got to learn to be a good son. You know, one of the first things that happened to me in my conversion, I had to repent to my father, and I had to forgive my father. Otherwise, I couldn't be a good one. And that was a major, because there are no perfect parents. So that was a major, major change for me when I realized that I had aught against my dad, and my anger was about my dad. And I had to get forgiveness. I had to ask him for forgiveness. I had to ask God for forgiveness. And this is amazing. This is after my father passed. And I realized that God really just revealed to me, but the source of my anger was toward my dad. And I had to forgive him. And I did. And thank God, he released me. So I'd say that's one of the starts with that fathers need to do. Fathers, we're responsible. I think there are three major things we're responsible for. We're responsible for identity in our children, security of our children, and maturity of our children. It's like what the Father God did to Jesus. He said, Bill, this is my son. He speaks up for him. He identifies as my son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then he says, listen to him. You see, the Father God affirming Christ. Man, if fathers need that so bad. We need to affirm the identity of our kids, of who they are, their uniqueness. We need to secure them, because all children have to deal with their own personal sin. So we need to secure them. And we need to lead them to maturity. Fathers are responsible to raise children so that they are mature. If you eliminate any of those, you have serious problems. You got serious problems in your life, in the life of your children, and serious, serious problems in the culture.
Sorry, that was so good. Let me just kind of dig a little deeper into that. What you said, so you said we need to just repeat those three again, just to make sure people can catch it. We need to make sure that where there's identity, you said?
Identity from our parents, our fathers, particularly.
Identity. And then the second one was, you said?
Become secure because of them in who we are.
And then maturity was the third one, correct?
Maturity, of course, is by our fathers. And by the way, may I just mention that the purpose of fathers are not just to raise sons who know how to make a good living, to raise sons who become great fathers.
Wow. No, that's so good. What are some, if I'm a dad and I'm listening to this right now, what are some ways, like maybe just a practical example in each of those areas? What are ways with my kids I can speak into identity? I can, you know, speak into security, and I can help, you know, them grow in maturity. What are maybe just a practical example for each one of those areas?
Well, one of the things I did to secure my children, I didn't think about it at the time until later, but this may sound strange, and particularly for all you dads that are married. One of the greatest things you can do for your child is to love your wife. And to practice honor and affection toward that woman. What those children see, that impression stays with them the rest of their life. And I can tell you from example, because my dad, who used to work late at night, he used to work graveyard shift. He would come home and my mother would stay up, and we would get to stay up for him to come home on the weekends. And he would come in the door. Brennan, he'd walk in the door smelling like lumber. He worked at a lumber yard. And he would, you know, we would all run and grab him. And there were five boys and two girls, by the way. And he would just kind of shake us off and go straight to my mom. He would grab her up in his arms. He'd pick her up. He'd swing her around. He'd sit her down gently, lay her over, and give her a big slobbery kiss. And we would all go, oh.
It's true.
But man, that thing impacts me to this day. So when I come home, I want to get me a good slobbery kiss. But my kids saw us love, honor, and cherish each other. And I can tell you, man, that it has a powerful effect on a man and a woman's life, a child, a boy and a girl. So I'd say, number one, love your spouse and love her in a way that your children see her, that they see it. Now, I just want to say this, husbands, you know, you're really, I know children are pretty demanding, but in terms of priority, make sure that the relationship between the wife and you is number one and the kids is second. That's one thing you can do that will make a powerful. And let me give you another thing we got to keep our word. We got to keep our word. We promised them something. We got to deliver, and we need to repent when we don't. You know, one of the things the Holy Spirit's doing now is restoring fathers and sons. And the key to that is honest repentance. I had to admit when I was wrong. Can you imagine? You know, fathers have to come to your children and say, forgive me, I didn't do this right. I didn't say that right. Wow. Talk about a powerful impression on your children. That's one of the things that we did that makes a powerful difference. And we've been in ministry most of our lives, so I had to also practice family before ministry.
Wow, that's good.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one because we want to succeed in ministry, but you know what? Children know whether that's real in your heart. So you know, we took those vacations. We might not have had much money in the earlier days, but man, we went anyway. We acted like we had $1 million, and we went on those vacations and we made them. It was fun. And every year it was expected that we go on family vacations. Keeping your word, putting your family before ministry. That's a really big deal. Or maybe I should say before your career, for those of you guys who work really hard in your career. It's a really big deal. And the last thing I think I'd say is celebrate their victories and cry with them in their defeats.
That's good.
It's a big deal. It's a really big deal because children never forget. We are making an impression on them that actually will never leave them. And we'll prepare them for the next generation.
I hear you. Now, you've kind of started this already, but obviously you're speaking from experience. Those who don't know, you've got 3 amazing children, many more spiritual children, a bunch of grandkids who I know you love to brag on and make a big deal about. What are some of the things that you did? Like, you've already referenced some of it a little bit, but maybe unpackage it a little bit more. What are some of the things you did as a father that you look back, you go, I'm so glad I did this. I'm so glad that these are some choices I made. Are these some decisions I made? Maybe even in a difficult season where it was tough to be the father you needed to be. But what are some things that we could learn from your journey that you're really glad that you did?
Well, one thing I did, both she and I, I would come home late, you know, because we were working day and night. In the beginning, we had, you know, worked 8 to 5, and then from 9 to 10, 9 to 12, we did the work of the ministry. And so when I came home, many times my children were already in bed, and so I would go to their rooms. I'd go to every one of their rooms, and I would lay my hands on my children and I would pray for them. And I would make declarations over them. Now, what I discovered after a while was that they weren't asleep. They were waiting for me. And frankly, what would happen if I came in the room, sometimes they were awake, they'd take my hand, put it on their head. I would make proclamations over my children. I would pray for them, literally. I'd pray the things I saw in my spirit that God wanted for them. And I'm sure they had a great impact on their lives. It's a serious thing for me, because I believe that God answers prayers of fathers and mothers concerning their children. That's one of the things I did. And another thing I did is I spent time talking to them, not about church stuff, but about their stuff, which is really, really important, because your children are living life and the narrative is already created. We've got to break into that narrative and make sure that it's the right one. And so, yeah, I talked to them. We had conversations. I'm talking about eye to eye. Now, I don't know how it is today. Well, yeah, I do know how it is today. It's so fast until you rarely. Listen, there was a table and a time to eat. Forgive me for my intrusion. But there was a time for
everything.
Particularly
go there.
On the weekend, it was definitely breakfast. Everybody was waiting for breakfast. But on the weekdays, there was time to eat. When I wasn't doing working late, it was I'd come home for dinner. At that table, everybody had their seat. Everybody had their, you know, the place where they sat. And dinner time was the time that we unload. Dinner time was the time that people, we talk about our day. We talk about the things that we want. It's not just everybody's there, you're just grabbing it and running. It wasn't eating out of the pots. And it wasn't just getting my bowl and going to my corner with my television, my iPad or my cell phone. Wasn't that. It was a time to connect together. Because you know why I did it? Because that's what my dad did to us. Mm. And he expected us to be in our place. And that was our connection time on a daily, almost, not every day, but almost on a daily basis of the week. So we ate together a lot. We talked as a family. It was kind of like the problem solving, directing time for us. It had a lot of meaning. Mealtimes meant an awful lot to us. In fact, if you wanted to get a good thrashing, just, you know, have everybody sitting there waiting on you to come to the table. I don't know if you can relate to this. You might not be able to relate to this, but that's actually the household that I grew up in. So those are a couple of things that we did that made a difference, where everybody started understanding identity. Where we made, you know, corrections. My wife was preparing my children to eat with kings, so she would instruct about the table setting. You know, what fork? Yeah. Believe me, guys, what fork and knife goes where, and what do you use? You don't use a steak fork for the salad. Well, they learned that at our table. She taught it. I reinforced it. It made us. And to this very day, you know, my children are in their 40s. To this very day, for the two that are still living in Atlanta with us, we look forward to eating. And for us, it's every Sunday we gather together to eat, because that's our time. That's our time. It was a really big deal. And I wish there was a movement in the body of Christ to restore dinner time. I think we
would
be amazing. Something else I can think of that we did that was extremely important. We discovered our kids are the most honest right before bed.
Okay.
I discovered that I can find out anything I need to find out if I would go to the bedside of my children before they went to sleep and ask them questions, because the last thing they want to do is go to sleep.
That's a good point. That's a good strategy right there.
And man, they would just blah, they'd spill it all, you know, and we could find out. That was really powerful. So aside from praying with them, I'd always pray with them later, earlier, late, but having that little conversation when they lay down, that was kind of a big deal. I wish there were more of that. I think parents would be shocked what they could learn in that intimate moment before sleep. Yeah.
No, that's really good, Bishop. I mean, several things that are just jumping out to me from what you were saying. I think first and foremost, we talked about praying for your kids, which I want to unpack even a little more in just a second. But I think that quite often we find that you'll talk a lot about praying mothers, you know, and, oh, my mom would pray for me. My mom would, you know, be there interceding for me. And sometimes as fathers, I think we don't take our responsibility to prayer as seriously. Or sometimes we can just leave it to our wives or leave it to the mother, you know, to the children's mother. But I think that's so powerful about praying and praying for them. I think to what you said about the mealtime was so key. Because I think as simple as it sounds, it just leapt out to me as you shared that. Because you're right, life is so busy and there's so many things on the go. But just creating that space, you know, with Jesus, if you look at, you've mentioned this before over the years in different sessions you've done with us, look at how often Jesus would teach or do ministry around a meal.
Absolutely.
Look at how often he did what he did over food. Whether it was Zacchaeus, whether it was the Last Supper, where all the things that he shared there. I mean, so many different, Mary and Martha, there was so many different options or opportunities that you saw where he did it over food. And so I think there's this opportunity we have as fathers to really impact our kids and to make that impact. So that's so good, so profound. Let me ask you this too, though. What are a couple things that, you know, looking back, you wish you did differently? Or a couple things that you say, you know what, if I could do it over again, these are some changes I would make or things I would put a greater emphasis on. Sorry.
I would set and keep an appointment once a week to have time with each of my children alone. I would do more of that. You know, mothers are just so incredibly important because, you know, they are for many times hands on. If fathers who leave the house and work, they don't get hands on like moms used to. Now both parents are working, and so children don't have either. If I had to do it again, I would set an appointment. This is our time, you and me. I would do that with each of my children. And I think this is one of the most powerful places of impartation. And because, you know, the day will come when your children won't want to talk to you. My father had a conversation with me before I was a teenager. He looked at me one day. He said, "Son, there's going to come a day when you won't want to hear what I'm having to say." And he said, "When that day comes, I want you to remember what we're talking about now, and I want you to open your heart and listen to me." That was kind of amazing, because when the time came that I didn't want to hear anything from a dad, he was gone.
Wow.
And I missed it. I understood what he was saying. All of my children went through a period of time where they didn't want to hear what I had to say. So yeah, I would spend that time establishing the not a superior to an inferior, not that. Because remember, the kingdom of God is transferred in relationship, not in teachings and lessons.
Okay.
But God is transferred from heart to heart by the love of God that's demonstrated. Words, yes, they become a conduit of the love of God. And what we do speaks infinitely louder than what we're saying. And so, yeah, I would do that. I would spend more time. And frankly, right now, still need to. My children are still, they're grown, and some of them have children, but still need it. I'm discovering it is still needed. My job as a father, as a progenitor, is not done yet, really, until I have downloaded what God has given me in them. For some of the things that need to be taught, they weren't ready for. And you are always a parent, and they are always a son. And so, yeah, I would establish a relationship. So in the tough times, in really difficult times, you should have a bridge to their heart to help them and instruct them and direct them.
That's so good. That's so, so good. Maybe there's a father listening who, as they're hearing you share that, feels like they're in that season where maybe one of their children or all of their children are not really interested in hearing what they have to say. How do you posture yourself in that season as a father? Right? I'm not there yet. Part of me is hoping I never get there, but I know it will happen. But how do you posture yourself in that season to continue so you don't kind of create an even bigger gap between you and your children? What did you do in those seasons? What do you do?
And this is a tender question for me, because there was a season when my children didn't want to hear what I had to say, and they left, and they were doing their own thing. And you know, here I am, the bishop. Yeah, right. And of course, one of our responsibilities is to have our house in order. And my kids were buck wild. And I'm not kicking them under the bus. I know that everybody goes through this, but they did. They went through it. And when the Lord began to deal with me about going after my children, I won't take the time to tell you all their intimate stories. It's really amazing what God did. But one of the things that the Lord had me do was go to them and ask them some questions. By the way, Brendan, I wrote down all 5 or 6 of those questions. And if you want them, I will definitely give them to you, and you can give them to anybody who wants them. But those 5 questions, oh my God, they weren't mine. The Lord downloaded them to me. One, I'll give you one of them.
Yeah, please. You can't leave us hanging, Bishop. You're leaving us hanging here.
I don't know if you're ready for this. Son, what have you seen me do that's made it easy for you to sin?
Wow.
What have I promised you that I didn't deliver?
Wow.
I'll leave it right there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
3 or 4 more. And first of all, I couldn't believe that I'd ask them these questions, and that I wasn't, I'm entreating them. So I want them to give me their honest answer. Now, what I tell you, at first they didn't want to give me any answers, but when they did, oh my God. Talk about being brokenhearted of seeing what I did that I maybe never intended to, but I did it. Hmm. And I had to repent. And a direct answer to your question, when your children are not listening, you got to ask yourself, what do I need to repent of?
Wow.
And oh my God. And I went to them and we had these conversations. I didn't do that right. I didn't do that right. And asking, can you imagine humbling yourself, parents, to ask your children for forgiveness because you didn't do it right? You screwed it up. You neglected. Mm-hmm. You didn't say it. You promised it. You didn't deliver it. You sinned and you thought they didn't see you, but they saw you. Oh my God. They saw you, or they heard you, or they, and you can you imagine what the enemy does with that?
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah. But I do believe this is part of the restoration process, and it's begun. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing sons turn back to fathers. Remember in Malachi, I will turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. God wants this. I'm going to send you the spirit of Elijah. I see that happening now with parents. They're, number one, parents are turning to their children first. And then out of that turn, children are turning back to their parents. Oh my God. Of course, you understand, the enemy hates this because when this happens, it begins the destruction of his kingdom. Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, that's so good. I wanted to ask about back to when you talked about praying for your children, because I remember one of the things you shared over the years that I think has impacted me the most was where you've talked about the power of fathers blessing their children. Can you unpack that for a little bit? Just like the importance of as fathers really blessing our children. I think it's a lost art form for many of us. What is the significance of that? What does that look like? How can we, every father watching this, how can we come out of this and say, I'm going to move into a stronger place of speaking life and speaking blessing over my children?
Mm. Ooh, that's a can. Let me say this. Isn't it amazing how God preserved the generations through the blessing? And he shows us through Father Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And the pivotal point of their lives was when they laid their hands on their children and pronounced over them what God had pronounced over him. Hmm. this is, you know, generational sin is passed immediately and automatically. Generational blessing is passed through the pronunciation of the word of God over your children.
Wow.
That's why the kingdom comes. The kingdom is demonstrated in word and power. Paul said, not just words only, but in power. And the speaking the words of edification over your children, and speaking the words of success over your children, speaking the words that the Father has spoken to you. Because one thing's, if you have oversight, you always get insight.
That's good.
God will never give you oversight over your children without giving you insight into their life, their gifting, their character. You see it. In fact, you see yourself in your kids. We feel like God gives us our kids to teach us rather than us to teach them. And when you approach those things, when you deal with those issues, that's why you don't discipline your children the same, because each of them have different issues to deal with. You never discipline the same way because their challenges are different. But you do get insight. And so I want to say this to you, parents. One of the greatest things you can ever do is bless your child. I started doing this in weddings. When I have weddings, I have the parents of each of the bride and groom come to the altar, and before the groom brings his bride up for all of the vows, I have the parents come and bless them and say things like, "I receive you as my daughter, and I bless you, and we're here for you, and you are no longer you're not just her name. You're my daughter. You're my son." I mean, it's amazing. I like to say, in the same way, dads, moms have the power to speak the words of God over your children. And by the way, if you're praying for your children, God will download words to them. The words that you are you're such an incredible. You are so much more than you think. You not only do they belong to God, but God has given you this. You know, I believe it's time, parents, for us to prophesy our children's success. And to give them, this is why, by the way, part of the way we secure them. What does the Father in heaven? "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well." Man, if children need this from their parents more than anything. And as you progress, and by the way, this word to them should be progressively more powerful as they are getting ready to begin their own life, their own marriages, their own families.
Yeah.
To pronounce over them. Pronounce over them the words, the scriptures that God has downloaded to you concerning their life. State to them what you might think is obvious many times is not to them. State to them the gifts that God has given them. State to them the character, the excellent character issues of their life. "You are so honest. You know, you are so true. You are such a hard worker." And declare in the name of the Lord what will happen, what's going to happen to them. This is unfortunately, parents don't do it enough. Sometimes in special occasions, maybe graduations or sometimes in marriage, "I'm so proud of you," which is good. But I'm talking about really speaking the word of God over them, identifying their gifts and their character and their direction. And that's one thing I didn't say. Fathers are for direction. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says children are as arrows in the hand, in the pouch, in the hand of the archer.
Yeah.
and you know, however they point them, that's where they go. And the fact is, our children are arrows sent into a time where we are not allowed to go. But we can go with him if we've done the correct impartation.
No, it's good. That's so good. You know, I was thinking about, I mean, just so profound, this power of speaking blessing. Because it's sad when you think about it so often how little we actually do that. And I think I'm just challenged listening to you. I've done it in some capacity, but I know I'm challenged just listening right now to do it even more. Just to kind of swamp my kids with words of blessing and speaking the word of God over them. You've referenced it a couple times, and it just hit me while you were sharing, where Jesus, when he was baptized, and he came up, he said, the Father spoke over him and said, this is my beloved son. And one translation said, I love him and he brings me great joy. And it's interesting because when Jesus was on the Mount Transfiguration, and right there, and the Father's voice spoke again, and what did he say right before Jesus was going across? Same thing. He just spoke those words of love, of blessing, of affirmation over Jesus. And I thought it's just such a powerful example to us of the Father. Now, let me ask you this, because there might be some fathers who are watching this, and maybe they've never even admitted this to anybody. Maybe they have. But deep in their heart, they really struggle with insecurity and inadequacy as a father. Maybe because their father wasn't there, or they didn't have a good relationship with their dad. And there's like this internal struggle of, I want to be a good dad, but what does it mean to be a good father? Maybe even today as they're listening to this, you know, it's really a struggle for them. What would you say to someone who wants to be a good dad, who has this heart to be a father, but really feels they struggle because of maybe whatever's happened to them? They feel like they feel very insecure about that. What would be your encouragement to them and what they can do to just to grow in that area?
It is amazing that the kingdom of God is really about relationships. And when you come to the kingdom of God, when you come to Christ, one of the first things he does, he says, I'm going to give you fathers. For many guys, they have not understood the spiritual significance of the leader you follow. Hmm. They become father spiritually. They have the heart of the father. They are supposed to have it. I know you have it, Brendan, because you see the result of your work. It's incredible. But one of the things that we can do for men is stand in the spiritual fatherhood role to fulfill what Jesus said. You know what? I'm going to give you fathers. In fact, the Bible says he's a father to the fatherless. Hmm. In an example of fatherhood right there in spiritual authority, which I think is amazing what God does. By the way, when you don't have spiritual authority, when you don't have spiritual fatherhood, it's catastrophic. Hmm. I listed some things. Did you know that 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes? 71% of all high school dropouts are from fatherless homes.
Wow.
75% of all adolescent parents in chemical abuse are from fatherless homes.
Wow.
It gets worse. 63% of all youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless institutions.
Wow.
85% of all youth sitting in prisons grew up in a fatherless home.
Wow.
The last one, 80% of rapes are committed by those who lived in fatherless homes.
Wow.
You know, if you got the statistics in your nation, and I mean, because they're definitely available, it is amazing. You get the statistics at home where you live, whoever is listening to us right now, for all of you listening to us, you know, at the bottom line, at the foundation, fatherlessness is the problem.
Hmm.
Think about the violence we're having across the nations and around the world. Oh my God. Somebody's baby, somebody's child. I think I'm going to ask you again. Ask me the question. I'm on a tangent. Forgive me. But give me the question one time. I'll send it. I'll pull it back in.
Well, I was just saying, no, I mean, it was so good. It was just for someone who struggles and feels inadequate or insecure. And I think you really touched into it about how just they can, you know, just lock in and what can they do to grow as a father. And I think one thing that's jumped out to me as well too, because is, you know, what I love about the gospel and what I love about Jesus, I love about knowing God the Father, is that he is the perfect father. And so even if we don't have that fathering in our lives and we're struggling with that, maybe there's men who are struggling with that, we can go to him and he can work in us by his spirit. He can work in us through relationships and spiritual fathers that he connects us to help us in that, to help us walk through that. So I don't know if you answered it very well. I think you continued forward, but if you have anything else to add on that this morning.
I think it's a vital question, because this restoration of fatherhood is what the Holy Spirit is doing, particularly in the body of Christ right now. Mm. And the lack of it has caused the incredible problems and tensions that we are experiencing. And I want to say that what you did not have, the Lord restores. This is what the gospel does. The gospel of the kingdom restores what you did not have, what was taken from you, what was stolen from you. And fatherhood is one of the major issues that's stolen from those who come to Christ. It is restored. He said, I'm going to give you fathers, mothers. I'm going to give you brothers and sisters. The relationship you did not have, you didn't grow up with, God restores that in the body of Christ. While today it becomes popular to be a believer, you know, without being connected, you know, it's a myth. Yeah. The true believers who are disciples have to be, they are connected to the body of Christ. And yes, on a local level, you know, your name, they know your name, you know, their names, somebody who's responsible for you, somebody who's alongside you, and somebody eventually who you are to be responsible for, because all of us who are disciples ought to be discipling somebody else.
Yeah.
This is actually the restoration of the spirit of fatherhood, which restores you, which restores your identity of who you are. You are who you are, even without your gifts. Your gifts are included, but you're not accepted on the basis of your gifts. You are accepted and loved on the basis of who you are. That identity is in Christ Jesus. Your security, meaning that you can perform, you can do what you're called to do because you have confidence that comes from your connection in the body of Christ, that comes with that fatherly spirit over your life, confirming, affirming not only who you are, but what you can do.
Oh, so good. So good.
That maturity, which is able to stand up under, you know, part of maturity is to have your emotions under control. So when you see something like, for example, what happened here in America with a man being murdered on national television, instead of your emotions running you every which way, you know how to hold that. You know how to direct that. Because that spirit of fatherhood in the local church will help you become mature. And not only that, have the courage to do what you can do to make changes. By the way, our nations, the nations are waiting for the voice of the church. They're waiting for the action of the church. And what has been missing? Fatherhood has been missing. I pray for you. I pray for every one of you that are listening, that you would receive that. Maybe you've not seen that. I pray that you look at your pastor and think about it differently, how God is restoring that to you. Oh, my God. What's awaiting for you as a result of that is incredible.
That's really good, Bishop. Now, I think you may have already answered this a little bit in your answer, but my heart was just drawn to the fact that there may be maybe some single moms who've been watching this, you know, and they're thinking of their kids and, you know, and then they hear these stats and, you know, it kind of hits them in a way where they're thinking, man, well, we, you know, just because of what's happened in my life or life circumstances, there's not a father here for my children. What would you say to them to encourage them today? Because I could imagine, you know, just leaving it at that level for some could be discouraging, but what is the encouragement that, that you can bring in the middle of that? How do they posture themselves?
Wow. You know, the greatest encouragement is the fact that when the Lord draws you to the body of Christ, all that has been missing in fatherhood starts to come to bear through the relationships that you have in the church. That mother, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can raise that child and expose that child to that spirit of fatherhood that exists in the local church, in the relationships. I want to speak even to your home, your small group and the acquaintances and the friendships and the love connections that God is giving you in the church. And that you are not, do not believe, don't feel that you can't raise godly children. By the way, in the scripture, we're given example. Timothy, you don't see his dad on the scene at all. It is his mother that raises him. He becomes a great leader.
That's true.
But he connected also with Paul. Moms, I want you to know that because you come to Christ, you get all that Christ has, and so do your children. So don't count lightly the connection you have right there at TCC, right here at MCC, because those men who are there, those godly disciples, will make up the slack. Remember, the Lord said, I'm going to give you fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. How does he do it? He does it in the body of Christ. I don't know if I hope I've answered that in a way that.
Oh no, that's so good. I'm just soaking in the answer right now. That is so, so good. One more question for you before we bring this to a close and we'll close in prayer. Just kind of more of a broad general, if kind of in closing, all the fathers who are watching this today, it's Father's Day, wherever they are, they might be in their living rooms. They might be in their car. They might be, you know, in the kitchen or in their offices, their man caves, wherever they are today. What just are a few final words of encouragement you'd give to all of us as fathers today on Father's Day?
I would encourage every father to do three things, three huge strokes, three big categories. Affirm your children's uniqueness. Forgive their weakness. And motivate them to greatness. I want to tell you, you will not be sorry. You will not be sorry. God will do his work if you'll do those three things.
That's so good. Can you repeat those again? Just because I'm sure a couple guys are out trying to write those down right now. Repeat those again. Those are good.
Affirm your children's uniqueness, their size, their shape, all of it. Even for you parents whose children may have come with other deformities, affirm their uniqueness. Number two, forgive their weakness. All children have weakness because sin is in all of us. Forgive their weakness. Number three, motivate them to greatness. Use that prophetic word and parental insight to move them toward their greatness. Their uniqueness,
wow.
Their weakness, and their greatness.
Their greatness. Oh, that's so good. So good. Their uniqueness, forgive their weakness, motivate them to greatness. Oh, Bishop. Oh, thank you so much. I think there's just been so much from this conversation that we can take forward. I'm sure there's been a ton of guys out here and others just taking notes and keeping it up. So obviously it's great because it's recorded. So you can go back to it. You can just re-listen to all the different parts of things. Just as we close, maybe we can have a word of prayer. Bishop, if you could just pray a prayer of blessing over every father, over all the fathers who are watching today. I think that just so we can all receive that father's blessing from you as a spiritual father, one who's, you know, walked this journey out for many, many years.
Father, for every father who hears and is listening right now, and I pray, Father, that because of your blood, you would forgive us of our sins, forgive us of our neglects, forgive us for not doing it right, forgive us for carrying the bitterness from our fathers. Give us the heart to forgive our fathers. And if you're there right now, maybe you could pray with me about this, saying something like this: Father God, I release my dad for not being there, for doing what he did, for every abuse, for every neglect, for every abandonment, for every violence. Lord, I forgive him. And I thank you, Father, for forgiving me of my sins. And I thank you for healing me. Heal us, Lord. I thank you for it. And I pray, Lord, that you would pour into every son, pour into every disciple, every dad, pour in the love of God. I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit gives us what we need, equips us to do what we must do as dads. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us a heart to speak to our children, to deliver our children, to encourage our children, to forgive our children as you have forgiven us. And I thank you, Father, for giving us a word to our children that motivates them, that frees them, that causes them to love you because we love them. Lord, would you do it today? Would you release a revolution, a whole reset in our families? And do it to every dad and for everyone that prays this prayer, Father. Let it be so. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I just agree with what Bishop had just prayed. And we just thank you today, God, for just that spirit of fathering, that spirit of fathering, that you are our Heavenly Father, that you love us so much, that we are your beloved sons and daughters in whom you're well pleased. Then we know that anything, you know, with that we need to do, we will not just do it in our own strength, but we do all things through Christ who gives the strength. And so I thank you for that supernatural strengthening and encouraging and empowering today for every father who's watching this. Lord, I thank you just for the things we've learned, the wisdom that's been shared. And I pray for each one of us that we will not just be hearers of this word, but will be doers. As we come out of this time, you are giving each one of us if we could call it a Holy Spirit action plan of things we can put into practice. And so we thank you for this. We thank you for hope. We thank you for encouragement. We thank you for life. And we just bless every dad today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bishop, thank you so much. This has been such a powerful, powerful conversation. I don't know if you have any closing words for both our church families. Realize I gotta get used to MCC. I'm used to AMC, so I know you guys made the shift. So sorry I got it mixed up beforehand, but MCC, TCC, I just love the fact that we can, I mean, it's amazing this time. None of us would have saw this coming, but I'm just loving opportunities like this just to connect even as church families, literally in different nations.
I want to tell you, I'm so grateful to God for you and what God's doing with you, and particularly for the spread of the apostolic ministry. It's amazing. And I think you ought to open your heart for explosions that are coming through TCC right there in Canada. It's amazing. And thanks for the privilege.
Oh, well, and thank you for just all of your heart and your input and just your faithfulness. And we're believing the same thing for MCC, just for an explosion in the greater Atlanta area and just God doing what he's going to do. So we can obviously we're staying connected. We can cheer each other on. And I'm looking forward to getting back down there as soon as they open the borders right now. If I come in, I might not get back, or they're not going to let me in. So we got to get those borders open. But I am looking forward to getting back down there in person. And obviously looking forward to having you guys back here in person as well, too.
No, we haven't taken our trip. You know, we got to take our trip to Montreal. We haven't done that yet.
That's true. We do have to take our trip to Montreal. Yeah, I know. You want to go do all this, check out the shopping in Montreal. So we will make sure that happens. All right, Bishop. Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for the time. Obviously, both church families, thanks for tuning in this Sunday. It's just an honor to continue to connect in this way. And we are looking forward. I know I am. I know, Bishop, you are as well. We are looking forward to when we can get back together in person. But until then, we're going to make this thing work, and God's having his way. And we're just growing together through this season.
God bless you.
All right. Wow. Wasn't that a powerful, powerful conversation with Bishop Flynn Johnson? I would have been taking notes, except I was conducting the interview, but I will definitely be going back through it in the future just to be growing as a father myself. And so we just want to thank everyone once again for tuning in. I do want to remind you, we've been trying to get the word out in different ways, but we are really excited. Obviously, the doors have opened for churches to start gathering together. And so we are going to be having our first in-person gathering on July the 5th. Now, we are going to continue to do this online gathering. We're going to continue to do what we're doing here in this online experience. But for those of you who would like to come back into in-person gatherings or in-person experiences, those are going to be starting July the 5th. Between now and then, we're working very hard to get all of our details together, to get our policies and procedures in place, because we want to make sure that as we come together, that it's a safe environment for everyone. It's an environment where everyone feels real comfortable and confident. So we're going to be releasing more information in the coming 2 weeks. We're going to have some opportunities. We're going to put it on paper. We'll send it out to you. You can ask us questions. And so please, even if you have questions now, contact us. We would love to just share with you more about our plans and what we're doing. But anyways, it's been great to be together today. I am excited about being together in person in just 2 weeks. And so keep your ears tuned for more information on that. We love you. God bless you. Make sure now that you check out the after party. Dads, have a great day.